Advancements in the medical field are giving nurses faster, more effective results than ever before. They should expect the same from their education, too. Capella University's game-changing FlexPath format allows you to set your own deadlines and leverage your experience to move faster through your program. So the faster you move, the more money you save. When you're ready, we'll be here. Visit capella.edu for a trial course at no cost to you. Capella University. Don't just learn, learn smarter.
And welcome. Welcome to the Porcher and Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. Getting back to basics, examining the Word of God, focusing on the Book of Acts Church and how they did things. The Porcher Online Bible Study is here to take a more in-depth look at to see how they served the Lord so we can follow their example. They were pretty effective at what they did, and we could use that right about now. The Porch has been here to restore the priesthood of the believer and the world-shaking influence that the early church had. We believe the church age is still in effect. Day of Pentecost is ongoing. The fire still falls. The Porch is an outreach of Solomon's Porch, Inc. Go to onsolomonsporch.org to contact us, or you could go to firefalltalkradio.com. We're also on Facebook, which isn't working right now. If you'd like to support us, go there. Go to firefalltalkradio.com. The bottom of the main page are ways. I don't know what ways are. There are ways for you to support what we do. We appreciate each and every one of you that do. Apologies for last week's technology problems. Thankfully, I was able to get on the air with my phone. I don't know how it sounded. I was going to go back and fix it, but I left it just the way it was, raw and real, showing that sometimes things don't go right, but we still get the word out and we still do what we're called to do. But make sure you bookmark the Spreaker app for Firefall Talk Radio so that you know when a show has been posted, when we put something up. Especially today, wasn't able to make an announcement on Facebook, because Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, all owned by Facebook, all on the same network, have been down. Now, some people think it's an attack. I'm kind of leaning towards they did it on purpose, and they're retrofitting and they're changing something, but we'll find out. But make sure you bookmark us or go to Spreaker.com/user/Firefall Talk Radio. We're also on Spotify, so welcome to all our listeners, Spreaker, Blog Talk, iTunes, iHeart, and Spotify. The meeting in Orlando for the weekend of Saturday, July 27th is finalized. That one day, you can come in on Friday and stay the weekend because there's going to be some great room rates. We will be at the Rosen Inn, Point Orlando, 9000 International Drive, Orlando, Florida. Call 800-999-8585. If you're going to book a room and the code is booking ID 68136 for the C Conference Firefall Media Group. Yes, we're bringing the C Conference back. We did one back in March of 2011 in Groton, Connecticut. And the C Conference is coming back. So book your rooms now. Make your flight plans now or your plans to drive. However you're going to get here. It's in a great place. A lot of restaurants. A lot of things to do. Free shuttles to Universal Studios nearby. Now the cutoff date for that room rate, which is a deal, is July 25th. After that, if you try to book a room at that rate for the conference, it'll be based on availability. And seating is limited, so we're going to set up a sign-up page a website that's being created just for this. And as soon as that's up, I'll let you know. And all the information will be there as well. A newsletter will go out this week. So make the commitment. Spend the day with us. We're going to be covering a lot of new things. And praying for the commitment and the support. And for anybody that wants to sponsor somebody or help somebody out in any way, shape, or form, you'll have ways to do that. This morning, a 17-year-old Lake Mary High School junior excused herself early from class, walked into an isolated part of the school auditorium, and committed suicide with the gun that she had brought with her to school. Horrific example of the desperation and the hopelessness in our youth and our young adults. Society and media has glorified suicide, and I think there needs to be some kind of reaction to tell the truth, but I think the church needs to get proactive. I really think the remnant needs to wake up, rise up. You know, that's all been part of the prayer, but it just seems to me that the enemy is really active, and we need to get just as well. I got this from Open Doors Ministry. I follow them on Facebook, and I wanted to share this. You know, I share the persecution of our brothers and sisters out there. Well, another pastor has been murdered in Colombia, marking two deaths within 6 days of each other. This particular event, which is a string of pastors' death, leaving the families and churches and community reeling and traumatized, took place on February 15th. Pastor Tomas Francisco Estrada was murdered. Circumstances are unknown in a rural area of Buenaventura, coastal seaport city in western Colombia. He served the area for 11 years. His wife has had a nervous breakdown over his death, and now she is the single parent of two children. And she herself, her name is Luisa, if you want to pray for her, is in critical health. Well, 6 days before Pastor Estrada was killed, another leader, Pastor Leder Molina, was hit by 5 gunshots on February 9th, evening of February 9th, leaving his church just after preaching a service, and he was murdered. This is in the same area that in September of 2018, Pastor Hector Galarza was murdered in a small town of El Cedro on his way to preach, approached by two men, and he was shot and killed in front of his family, his wife Mercedes, critically traumatized. Folks, the enemy is doing what he said he would do. This is not a surprise. It is horrific. Wives and children and grandchildren now afraid when they hear a loud noise. Pastors are being murdered in Colombia and all over the world. Believers are being slaughtered. Well, what does it take for us to wake up? The enemy's doing what we know he would do, what the Lord said he would do. When are we going to do what we were told to do? I get prayer. I really think that we need to get proactive. You know, this is my heart's cry for SRT, to be able to go to areas like that and shut things down and begin to intercede, even from a distance. We've got to do something. I'm flustered here by all of this, everything I see going on in the world. The death and the destruction and the evil, and I know it's always been there, but I watch this. I see things that most people don't see. I hear things that most people don't hear. And I can tell you, folks, a war in the spirit is coming. We are in the middle of the onset of the days of Noah. So we need to get a praise on. We need to get a prayer on. That's what this day in July is all about. And, I'm doing this by faith. I'm not going to fret about who's there, who's not. Whoever's supposed to be there will be there. So I praise him for my salvation. I praise him for my home, for my wife, for my sons and my daughters-in-laws, my grandson, for my furry kids and the possessions, everything that he's given me. I praise him for the fire of the Holy Spirit inside of me, for the protection that he's given us in his name, for the ministry that he lets me work, for the dreams and the visions and him sharing with me what he does. I praise him for the healing virtues and the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. I praise him for the power of praise. for being a new creation, for him saving me, setting me free, taking me out of the darkness, and bringing me into the light. And I praise him that I live in these times and that he's called me to serve him. Praise him for America and the signs that he's getting ready to come back. I know things are not great. I know there's stuff going on, but I'm not caught up in it. I'm not caught up in the politics. I see what's happening. But I also know who's in control. And I also know how the game is played. So I'm going to concentrate on the call. I'm going to concentrate on the Great Commission. And I'm going to praise him for the favor and the revelation and the things that he has shown us and protecting us from the enemy. Which means I'm going to pray. Hopefully you will too. I pray every day for the Middle East, for Israel, for the peace of Jerusalem, for the return of the Prince of Peace. I pray for my brothers and sisters around the world. I pray for the fatherless and the widows, the innocents, the victims of injustice. I pray for the children in the womb, the slaughter of the innocents. I read a story the other day about a nurse who used to be in the abortion industry, who was present. It's going to be tough here. Who was present as a late-term baby was being aborted, and what caused her to walk away from it all is she watched as this infant in the womb tried to get away from what they were doing. It was conscious of what was going on. So I pray for those people to find their way to the Lord. I pray against the religious persecution and the anti-Semitism, and I have been praying for the victims of sex trafficking, the young adults, the young women, the children. I pray for divine wholeness and health and healing, for all of us to get back to our divine design, partially because it would be great to feel good, but also we've got to be healthy to do what we need to do. So I'm praying right now for healing, for all who are sick and injured and suffering, for divine protection, for inspiration. I'm praying for this remnant that I know that is out there to wake up, to rise up, to answer the call to action. If you've been blessed, be a blessing. Help us out. If you hear somebody that's come into some money and they want to know what to do with it, you send them my way. I pray for us to prosper so that the kingdom can prosper. This isn't about selfishness. This is about us being open conduits of his blessings. Continue to pray for my wife, Deb, here in Orlando, for continued healing and restoration. Somebody I knew in Tallahassee and ministered to, her name is Joni. Joni in Tallahassee needs prayer for healing and for her overall health, as well as the oppression of the enemy during this time. Stacy in Texas, praise report, her house in Alabama has been rented out, so continue to pray for them to find something there. Said that despite the craziness over the last few weeks, we're okay. Neil is now carless, waiting for a verdict from the insurance company, and it doesn't look good. Her aunt lost her job, her mom is sick, lots going on. So she said, please keep praying for salvation, healing, and deliverance for my family. Kim in Fort Mitchell says, I have a major praise report. Can't even remember how long I've been praying for this. She said, well, God said now, a large sum of the child support amount being owed to my son has come through right around Maurice's 16th birthday. Thank you for everyone who prayed and believed. It's been rough financially here lately. Almost every appliance somehow stopped working. Septic tank had to be pumped. She said, I praise him for protecting me and providing for my family and I. Our children are under attack by the enemy. I noticed that for a while now. Please keep our children safe and protected. The destruction caused by the tornadoes here in Georgia and Alabama is devastating. There was a major damage here in Fort Mitchell, but 20 minutes down the road. Looks like a war zone. Please pray for those families. I love how communities come together and help and support each other. I feel like something has shifted, and the enemy has geared up and attacked in ways we're not ready for. Let me stop there for a second. My fellow SRT member, Larry, and I, we pray almost every day. We pray for a while. And we pray about that. We've sensed something shifting in the spirit. He said to me he was praying with a group of people this morning, and one of the people is normally a very positive, all of her words, everything she says is very edifying, but what came out of her this morning startled all them. She was warning them about a spiritual war getting ready to happen that the church isn't ready for. She says, it's great play on enemies' behalf. What better way to drain a believer than to attack our children, drain us financially, destroy our homes? Well, I serve God, the creator of all. Nothing can change that. I know he saved my soul from the battle against me. I praise you, Father. Praying for her mother who's here from Germany to open up, to save her, for the Lord to open her eyes and soften her heart. Continue to provide for us, protect the Porch families in SRT. She says, I love you, Father. Protect our pets and animals, homes and belongings. Open our minds and heal our bodies in Jesus' holy name. Father, nothing surprises you. I know that. Lord, nothing. You know the end from the beginning. You know everything. You've seen it all in the blink of an eye. You're outside of time. You're not surprised. Hasatan and the fallen and their demonic offspring are doing exactly what you told us they would do. Unfortunately, your children are not. So right now, I thank you, Lord, for warning us. And I thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to inspire us and wake us up. I thank you for the victory of the cross. I thank you for the confirmation that you are alive, because that tomb is empty. It's bare. You're not there. You're sitting at the right hand of the Father in fullness and power, and you've allowed us to sit with you in the heavenly places. So I just pray right now that each and every one of us, would be touched by you, would feel your presence in our heart, our minds, our souls, and our spirits, to hear the whisper of your voice in our ears. We thank you for blessing us. We thank you for protecting us. We thank you for caring for us. But right now, we clear our minds of all the cares of this world, all the distractions of this world. We take every thought captive to the obedience of Messiah. And we cast down every vain imagination from every source and anything that does not exalt our Heavenly Father. We ask for you to reach out to us tonight, Lord, in every way needed. Meet us at our need. Fill us so that we can be a blessing to others. We just thank you, Lord. We give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. In Yeshua's name, amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information, the matter presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or used without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. We're still talking about walking in the Spirit. I know it's coming to a close. I know where the Lord wants to end it, now he wants to end it. And I apologize for getting a little caught up in the prayers and the emotions, but I can't guarantee you that I won't go off-road here in a little bit. Oswald Chambers says, there's one thing we cannot imitate. We cannot imitate being full of the Holy Ghost. Nope, you can't fake that. I've seen people fake it. I've heard fake tongues. People repeating a word over and over, or a Hebrew term or something, and making you want to believe that they are speaking in tongues, that they're filled with the Holy Spirit, that they have that gift, that they move in the power. But that's just it. When somebody's got the Holy Spirit inside of them, they have the discerning of spirits, they have revelation knowledge, they have a word of wisdom, the things I'm talking about tonight. And as I worked on this today and thought, where is this going to go, Lord? Well, now I know after that opening. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. We need everything that the Lord promised He would do for us, through us, and with us. Because we're not cutting it right now. I watch people on social media. Forgive me if this sounds critical. But I watch people on social media who claim to know and love the Lord, who are caught up in ritual, caught up in everything that has no eternal value, has no earthly value now. It makes them feel good. It reminds them of their youth because they did it. They want their kids to experience it. And while the world dies and another teenager commits suicide, the response is, well, call the hotline. No, no, no. How about we bring them to the cross? How about we do something about it? How about we spend time every morning on our knees in prayer and begin to intercede for those that are depressed or that the lying spirit of suicide is in their minds, convincing them that's a way out? There's so many of us that are born again, There's a lot of us that are born again. There's enough. If one can put 1,000 to flight and 2, 10,000 to flight, just think what kind of damage we could do if we really got busy. There we are. For all these weeks, we're talking about the charismata, literally the grace gifts, sovereignly and undeservedly given to us by the Holy Spirit, sent back for this specific purpose. There's no basis in boasting or being envious of what you have or what you do, because each one of us has a special place and purpose in the body of Messiah. And whether you're more or less prominent in the eyes of the world, the same standard applies to each and every one of us. And that standard is we are required to be found faithful when we stand before Him. We are required to be good stewards of these tremendous gifts the Lord has given us through the Holy Spirit. Well, the church in Corinth was having a problem with that. You see, they had formerly been heathen Gentiles, into the occult, into pagan worship, under the influence of demons. And then they got saved, and then they got filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they got access to the gifts of the Spirit. And they began to manifest in the power and the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And the power of the Spirit of God began to attract attention, the attention of the world to them, which both stirred up the enemy against them, creeping in through lying and deceiving spirits, began to mess with them, began to create chaos and problems. Then there was some who tried to imitate and counterfeit the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. It even though the Spirit was moving in power and signs and wonders, it began to become chaotic because these were baby believers. You see, when you take somebody out of the occult like you did me, the Lord did, when you take somebody like me out of the occult, I moved in tremendous power. And then suddenly I find the real power of the Holy Spirit. Wielding power is not a problem. Understanding it, using it with wisdom and maturity is. And these Corinthians, they lacked maturity. They lacked the discernment, and they were in danger of being deceived by the enemy. So Paul had to begin to break it down and explain it to them. Sometimes we need that. We need to get back to basics. We need to get to the fine print. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He, capital H, wills. So the Spirit's in control. It's all about service to and for the kingdom of God. There is no other reason. Pentecost was supposed to be the transformational event that transformed us so that we could transform the world. Divine power bestowed to us to help people get renovated inside out, destroying the works of the enemy, destroying the works of the kingdom of darkness, having that boldness we talked about in the Holy Spirit to go out and do it, get people saved, healed, and delivered. But now we need wisdom, the kind of wisdom only the Holy Spirit can offer. You know, it takes wisdom to wield gifts. I mean, there are weapons that are just dangerous. I've shared stories with you. I'm a sword aficionado. I've been a collector of blade weapons since I was a child. It kind of runs in my family. And I know that there's one side of that that's really sharp. But there are certain swords that are so sharp, and they are made in such a way that all you have to do is put the edge of that blade against something, like a clothing or a leg, or miss putting it in the sheath or the scabbard correctly, and the next thing you know, your clothes are torn and you're missing a chunk of flesh. So what do? You handle them with respect. You handle them carefully. You learn about them. You get the wisdom to use them properly. Any weapon is like that. You just can't, grab it, pick it, I'm going to slash, I'm going to do this. I've heard stories of people being in demonstrations, picking something up they had no business picking up, and then hurting themselves or hurting someone else. We need wisdom. We need the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. And by these gifts that I'm talking about, the deep things of God will be understood. And then we'll be able to communicate it to others. We'll be able to share with them our knowledge of what we've learned and how we've learned it. And we'll begin to pass it on and replicate ourselves. So it says it right there in 1 Corinthians 12, 11 and 12. But the one and the same Spirit, the one and the same Ruach HaKodesh, the one and the same Holy Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. You can't choose it. Nobody can give it to you. He decides. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Messiah. We are all built up into Him. He is the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. We are the other stones in this temple. Stanley Horton, who wrote the book, What the Bible Says About the Holy Spirit, says, this means that the purpose of the variety of the gifts is to make it possible for the whole body to function as one unit. The variety of this is not for the advantage of the individual in giving us more things to enjoy, rather the advantage of the church in the case of the body of Messiah. The comparison is really to give the gifts that are manifested through the different members of the body. But see, we don't do that. We glorify people that move in specific gifts, or maybe move in more than one gift. We elevate them instead of thinking, okay, yeah, all right. We're all in this together. Yeah, the heart is important, but so is the brain, so is the liver, so is the spleen, the kidneys, every part of the body, the eyes. You see, we just haven't gotten that right. It's necessary for us to work as a cohesive unit instead of as individuals. And the way the Lord has designed it, it only works one way. It only works one way. We've tried it the other way. We have built a fake, false church the other way. And when I say it's false, it's They're trying to worship the same Lord, but they're out of order. And when you look at the day of Pentecost, the trigger event for the church, the Holy Spirit gave Peter the wisdom as to what to say. Okay, we talked about boldness last week. Yes, he had the boldness. The same guy that ran away, the same guy that said he didn't know him. Now he's new, now he's filled with the Spirit. He's got the boldness, but he's got to know what to say. This is a very specific crowd of people in front of them. And what does the Spirit do? But gives him a soul-piercing, heart-rendering message. Acts 2, starting with verse 36. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Yeshua, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, immediately, there's no hesitation, each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, to show that you have received forgiveness for your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promises to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. And Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging his listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. And those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. That's probably a couple million people listening, but 3,000 people heard what he said because the Spirit was speaking through him. This is the fulfillment of Luke 12 and 11 and 12. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and the magistrates and the authorities, don't worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. But you must be available. You must be submitted. There must be nothing in the way. You see, even without higher education, these are fishermen. Outside of Matthew, who is a tax collector, and Luke, who is a doctor, these are fishermen. These are not scholars. These are not rabbis. These are just regular, everyday people who, when the Spirit filled them, he could use them. Men of the rank and file, destitute of knowledge, except for the divinely imparted knowledge given to them. That's why when they were taken before the Sanhedrin, Acts 4:13, I saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, and they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. They were recognized for being followers and companions of Jesus of Nazareth. Why? Because what flowed out of them was powerful, and it was divine, and it wasn't of human origin. And yet here we are in 2019, and we want to know, where were you ordained? Show me your certificate. Show me what seminary you went to. Show me all these worldly confirmations of who you are. I can do that up to a point. I'd rather show you the fruit on my tree. I'd rather tell you about leading people to the Lord or getting people saved, healed, and delivered, set free. I'd like to talk to you about the Word of God. See, the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit gives us a continuous flow of divine wisdom, which leads me to an opportunity here to go off-road, going off the path, off the script, so who knows what I'm going to say. Buckle up. It seems like all of a sudden a lot of people want some counsel, they want some help, they want me to sort through their problems with them. And every now and then I come across somebody who claims that they're a believer, they know the word, they've read the word 6 or 7 times. But then they paraphrase scripture like crazy. Then they misapply scripture, or they twist it to fit what they needed to fit. And I begin to wonder, if the Holy Spirit is present, if they are submitted to the Holy Spirit, if they know the Lord the way they say they do, How do they do that? Where's the divine wisdom? Where's the revelation knowledge? Where's the ability to hear themselves and be able to say, you know what, I really don't know what I'm talking about. We've lost our way, church. We have just completely lost our way. We've lost the rawness and the realness and the trusting on the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you got to study the Word. You have to get the Word in you. You've got to understand it. You've got to be able to explain it and to give an account to somebody why you believe what you believe. But if the Holy Spirit's not speaking through you, what's the point? We're in a war. First of all, we're in a war for the well-being of us, our families, our homes, our children. We're in a war for those that we love. We're in a war to fulfill the Great Commission, to spread the gospel. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Prayer. Without prayer, all the armor of God is of no use. Praying always. Specific petitions, general prayers, letting the Spirit guide us how we pray, should be made for all believers and at all occasions. I shouldn't have to tell you to pray for the people that offer up their transparency and give us prayer requests. I shouldn't have to do that. I shouldn't have to tell you to pray for the other people that are part of this community here called The Porch or the people in you. I shouldn't have to do that. You should be blocking out time. We need perseverance and patience. We need to have clear minds. We need inspired utterances and boldness in preaching and clarity in the gospel we preach and understanding what we say. Paul wanted to speak boldly even though he was in chains. You know, he went into the synagogues and he spoke boldly for months, reasoning and persuading concerning all the things of the kingdom of God. He knew what he was dealing with. He had come out of that world. He had prior theological wisdom, but it had to be changed. It had to be corrected. It had to be tweaked, and it took time in the wilderness. A couple of years, I think it was 3 years, that he spent time with the Holy Spirit. See, the Spirit can use what you once knew, but he has to replace it. Because by our nature, by our fallen nature, we are in a state of darkness. Oh, we think we're smart. We think we know a lot. We think we know things. Until we're born again and our eyes are opened, we don't know anything. We think we know, but we don't know but what we don't know. You look at John 3:3, Yeshua told Nicodemus, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless a person is born again, anew from above, he cannot ever see, know, be acquainted with, or experience the kingdom of God. Seeing has to do with understanding. That's why this is called the Sea Conference that we're going to do. We're gonna open your eyes. We're going to get you to understand, to see things differently. Paul talks about it in Ephesians 1, starting verse 17, that the God of our Lord, Jesus the Messiah, Adonai Yeshua HaMashiach, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Not just any wisdom and revelation, but in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Messiah when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age which is to come. See, the Spirit wants you to understand. It wants you to have from him the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the insights into the mysteries and the secrets of a deep, intimate knowledge of him. To do that, the eyes of your heart must be flooded with the light of the Holy Spirit so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you and how rich his glorious inheritance is and those that he has set apart, his saints, so that you can know and understand the immeasurable, unlimited, and surpassing greatness of his power that's in and for us, all of us who believe. That's what wisdom and revelation does, and it must go hand in hand. Which is why he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Messiah, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge, there it is again, of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and their cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. That was Ephesians 4, 11 through 14. The reason so many people are so easily fooled today, the reason there are so many people falling for the deception and the false teachings, is they have not reached this place of wisdom and revelation knowledge. They don't walk in the Spirit with spiritual wisdom. Therefore, they're ineffective when it comes to the kingdom of God. Somebody posted something on social media, a very popular black preacher, and basically what he was doing was criticizing or cursing all the false teachers and all the false teachings and how they were a deadly threat to the body. And my response, which of course he ignored, was if people were to read the Bible and be filled with the Spirit and know what is said and know the truth, they wouldn't be deceived. And it's true. Wolves in sheep's clothing do what wolves in sheep's clothing do. It's up to us to know the truth. It's up to us that are teachers and shepherds to protect the flock until they do. To get them off of milk, get them onto meat, get them to a place where they're not constantly calling and asking you, what do I do? What does this mean? What's happening? Basically, we need to grow up. And we're running out of time, folks. We're running out of time to grow up. Paul dealt with it in Galatians. The Lord dealt with it with the disciples when he came off the Mount of Transfiguration. They couldn't cast out the demon out of the young boy, and he just simply said, how long do I have to put up with you? the church in Galatia, Paul says in chapter 1 of Galatians 6 and 7, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Messiah to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want you to pervert the gospel of Messiah. Later on in chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you so that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus the Messiah was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. There were people saying that he wasn't even crucified. There were other people saying it wasn't a virgin birth. I'm hearing that stuff now. The same lies that were at the beginning of the church are still here, and we're still having a problem with it. In Colossians 2, he says, starting verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Messiah. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. So many teachers, so many books, so many conferences, and the stuff that's being promoted doesn't line up with the Word. I told you when I got saved, I was a voracious reader. I was buying 4 and 5 books a week, and I was reading them and retaining them. But I was gaining knowledge and information. But once the Spirit began to reveal things to me, it took years. Once he began to show me things, once he began to open up the eyes of my enlightenment and gave me revelation knowledge, I took some of those books and threw them out. I remember reading one book that I got about halfway through, and I threw it across the room. Literally threw it across the room, repulsed by the false teaching and the tweaking of the gospel that perverted the will of God. Now, I have no tolerance for it. No tolerance whatsoever. I don't have time for it. The world is dying. Teenagers are killing themselves. Babies are being hacked to pieces. The demons are running amok doing what they do, and the church is singing, la-di-da, I'm looking for my best life now. Where's my Cadillac? The Spirit expressly told us, Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, expressly says that in the latter times, right where we are right now, ever since the day of Pentecost, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Of course, he was talking to different sects, different things, going back to the Jewish beliefs, going over here. Folks, what is it going to take for us to wake up? I'm not waiting. I got to be honest with you. I love you. I'm working with you. I do this every week, been doing it every week for 9 years here online. I've been doing this for over 30 years. I go wherever the Lord sends me. I help wherever he tells me to help. I don't have time to wait. I am begging you to get into your word, get filled with the Spirit, and stop being little birds sitting in a nest saying, feed me, and begin to feed on the word yourself. I will gladly help you if you come to an area, I don't understand what this word means. I don't understand what was going on in that period of time. What is this tradition that they're referring to? That's what I would do with Pastor Shelley. Even I was in my apartment up in New York, and I'd be reading something in the Word, and I'd have a question or a light bulb would come on, and I'd have a revelation. I'd call him and run it by him, and he would explain it to me and fill in the gaps, and then I'd keep going. I was blessed to have that. Paul also warned Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, if anyone teaches otherwise, other than what I have taught you, do not consent and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy and strife and reviling and evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men, of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. Basically, don't waste your time. Don't do this. Stop getting in the arguments on social media. Stop. You're not going to convince anybody of anything. Reach out to somebody that needs the Lord. Spend that time praying and interceding. Because we're here. The time has come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. We're here. But see, Paul didn't want us to be ignorant of gifts. Why? Because in the gifts are everything we need to do what I've been talking about. If I were to ask you right now, if we were in a room and we could talk and interact, kind of like what we'll be able to do in July, if I were to ask you right now, what has got you distracted? What has filled your mind or kept you from receiving the word and the knowledge of the Lord? What has kept you from living the life the Lord wants to have for you? Whatever it was you would answer would be the revelation of what the enemy is using to trip you up. What the enemy is using to keep you from where you're supposed to be. I did that with somebody the other day, 45 minutes, just talked, asked some questions, steered the conversation in certain areas. At the end of the 45 minutes, the person said, wow, you've asked me questions nobody else has asked me before, and I'm beginning to understand better why I do what I do. We have got to come to the knowledge of the truth. We've got to stop being conformed to this world, to this age. We've got to stop being fashioned after and adapted to the superficial ways of this world. But we must, right now, in the power of the Holy Spirit, be transformed, changed by this entire renewal of our mind, both natural and spiritual, to accept and adapt to this new attitude of the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, we will prove to ourselves and to the world and to all those around us, we will prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. To be saved. To be born again. Now you notice that scripture in Romans 12:2, the transformation of the mind leads you to discovering and displaying the will of God, which is what? The result, the end result of these gifts of the Spirit according to His grace. See, this is where the gifts of revelation, the gifts, the mind gifts come in, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits, which I'm going to have to pick up before we get into the power gifts, because I'm going to run out of time here. I don't want to overwhelm you with this stuff. I want to leave you thinking and chewing and receiving. But these gifts of the mind, these gifts of our knowledge, these gifts of our understanding is for each and every one of us. And by doing so, He strengthens each and every one of us in our differences, in our diversities, in areas that may not apply to anybody else. He will bloom you. You will bloom where He plants you. He will plant you where He found you. See, everybody wants to run. They think it's more glamorous. I want to go over here. No. I got saved out of the occult. I got saved in the entertainment industry. I got saved for a special reason. And what did I do? I tried to go away, tried to go into ministry instead of being a minister. Cut my hair, took the earring out of my ear, got on the suit and tie, coordinated clothes, everything, the whole bit. Became something I was never meant to be. Because that's what man does. That's what tradition does. That's what all these things called church do. Instead of looking at somebody saying, hey man, you're a biker, be a biker. And be the best biker the Lord has ever made. And you begin to go preach the gospel and show people what the Lord's done for you. Hey, you're a trucker? Then be a trucker. And every rest stop you go to, you be a spirit-filled, anointed trucker. You're a teacher? Then you be the most anointed, spirit-filled, gifts of the spirit teacher. You begin to show those kids just with love and a smile or a word, the love of the Lord, and plant a seed that somebody else will water and the Lord will get the harvest. You're a mechanic, bless people when they come in. Pray over their cars. You don't know. We need to be who we were called to be. We need to understand who we are. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. He has imparted to us the creative power of the universe to transform humanity. He'll come back and transform the rest of the world. He'll put everything back to the Garden of Eden. Only he can do that, but we can transform the world one person at a time. So, Father, I just come to you right now, and I ask where everybody is, wherever they are listening to this, that you would bestow upon them the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, a deep understanding of you and of who they are in you and what it is you want from them. I pray that you'd wash them clean, Lord, and if it's too deep and it's too strong, then burn them clean. Let the fire fall upon them. Let the healing, deliverance, sanctifying fire of the Holy Spirit hit them. Burn them inside out. Because, Lord, we are desperate for you. We are desperate for these gifts. We are desperate for the fruit. We are desperate to show the world you. Not traditions, not denominations, not plans, not anything but you. So meet us where we are, but take us to where we're supposed to be going. And if you're praying this and you're listening to this and you agree with me, say, yes, Lord, take me. I want to go to where I'm supposed to be. Show me what I need to let go of. Show me what I need to do. And I just pray all these things. I pray it with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. That in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua HaMashiach, you would receive. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Give you his shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.
Advancements in the medical field are giving nurses faster, more effective results than ever before. They should expect the same from their education, too. Capella University's game-changing FlexPath format allows you to set your own deadlines and leverage your experience to move faster through your program. So the faster you move, the more money you save. When you're ready, We'll be here. Visit capella.edu for a trial course at no cost to you. Capella University. Don't just learn, learn smarter.
If we want to list every way Spreaker can help podcast publishers, well, we need a podcast of our own. Whether you're in charge of long-running series with extensive backlogs or countless limited series, you can organize and monetize your entire catalog with Spreaker. With Spreaker's customizable publisher plan, you can add collaborators, analyze extensive listener analytics, and even share exclusive content through custom RSS feeds. And that's just for starters. Head to Spreaker.com to learn more. That's Spreaker.com.